You know, you must be genuine, and you mm-hmm. must mean what you say. Mm-hmm. You can't say one thing today to me, and then tomorrow you say something different to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to think about what you're going to say, and then stick to that.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, some of the teachers complained that you want us to be here on time, but you come late. Mm-hmm. You see him kind of walking up, and I said, I don't have any problem, I said, with prayer myself. I said, mm-hmm. I start my morning with prayer. I said, but you know, it has been a very controversial issue mm-hmm. about trying to put prayer in the school. I said, so instead of trying to just insist that people have students pray, I said, I'm not sure that was a really good move. Mm-hmm. I said, there's nothing wrong with prayer. I said, but when you start on the intercom in the morning and say, okay, this is the time when we're going to pray. Mm-hmm. I said, I think you kind of knew what this, you know, what the system felt about that. Mm-hmm. But I said, the main thing, being genuine, and then making sure you stick to what you're saying. You know, don't just be changing. Mm-hmm. Don't be like the lizard that say can change his color depending mm-hmm. on, you know, what kind of wall he's on or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he treated me nicely. As mm-hmm. I said, I don't remember any bad experience that I had in all of my 40 years of teaching with working under nine principals.
That's good.
I don't remember any bad experience. I was always trying to go to the aid of somebody. Mm-hmm. And I had several student teachers. I supervised mm-hmm. several student teachers. In fact, for a while I was at Rose, I was getting two student teachers a year.
Wow.
Everybody was requesting me. And I said, they need to get somebody because the student teacher would have a really good experience with me. And they would go, mm-hmm. yeah, try to get her. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of student teachers.
Yeah.
And I tried to help shape and mold them. Mm-hmm. And some of them I've kept in contact with. Mm-hmm. I know one that lives in Warsaw, and I know she's been out teaching English, and I think her oldest child must be like 13. So mm-hmm. it's been a long time. Yeah. And I just had a lot, and I had some really good ones. And those that were weak, mm-hmm. you know, I tried to talk to them and try to show them how they could improve. Mm-hmm. But I would never, excuse me, embarrass a student teaching from another student, because even if the student did it wrong, I would say, you know, we need to talk after school, you know, so mm-hmm. you did something, but you could have said it such and such a way. Mm-hmm. And then there were some that I had to act to teach the grammar. They'd come from East Carolina, and they knew very little grammar.
Yeah.
They knew very little grammar. Mm-hmm. And they just appreciated my helping them, and yeah. I would give them materials. And every student teacher that I've had, when this student teacher got ready to leave, mm-hmm. I would find some of my materials that I had preserved and I had kept mm-hmm. personally. I said, you can have this if you can make use of it maybe for next year. I hope you get a job.
That's really
and
nice.
they send me Christmas cards and the parents had a lot of respect for me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get flowers on various occasions. There's a Dr. Walsh who is now retired.
Mm-hmm.
He was a urologist, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I taught all of his children. Mm-hmm. I think he had four boys and one girl. And they always would tell the mom, Mom, don't forget, it's time to send Mrs. Jones for flowers. And she would tell me. And the flowers would come and they'd do that. And then somebody would call upstairs and say, Mrs. Jones, you have flowers downstairs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they would send me something all the time. I mean, it just
That's
kind of,
really nice.
I mean, I just always remember those nice little things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just that, or they would send me letters,
mm-hmm.
or I thank you for having been my son's teacher or my daughter's teacher, things like
mm-hmm.
that. And now, I mean, before I finished my 40 years, here I was teaching the children of some of their moms, you know, the moms mm-hmm. I had taught, and so
wow.
forth. And they just kind of like, say, they'd come up and say, you know, I think you taught my mom. I said, well, I probably did, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And they keep asking me, why do you keep coming back to Rose High School? You say you retired. I said, that's right. I said, but I love you all. I love children. I love Rose High School. And I'm on the substitute list, but I go to only one school, and that's Rose.
Really?
I could have a job every day subbing,
mm-hmm.
because somebody's always trying to get me. But
yeah.
When we fill out the little form saying what schools you want to be called,
mm-hmm.
I would just put Rose only. Because it's not too far from where I live.
Yeah.
And I said, it's got to be kind of convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go over to the school and nobody has to show me where the classroom is.
Uh-huh. You already know where it is.
Uh-huh. And so at the Rose High School that's now on Arlington,
mm-hmm.
Where I do my subbing, I was at that school. I think I worked at that school 3 years.
3 years?
3 years, I think.
So you You retired in 96, then, perhaps?
Maybe. The end of 94.
End of 94, okay.
But, oh, it was the hardest thing to try to leave Rose High School from Elm Street, because we knew that it was here. We just could not get around it. We mm-hmm. knew we were going to move because we had to take in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
And we had all these boxes. We had special needs saying how you were supposed to label the boxes and this. But
it was hard for me, too, because I didn't get to graduate from the old school.
Uh-huh.
I had to graduate from the new one.
We were packing up stuff. we would just be crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, for at least a half school year, I found myself going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was going to Rose High on Elm Street, I would go to this corner, turn and go to 4th Street, which mm-hmm. is the next street over. Then I'd keep 4th Street until I got down to Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd turn back to the right, you know, I would be right there. And it was just hard for me to believe that I was not going the same route. I'm mm-hmm. not going to the same school.
Yeah.
So I found myself, oh my gosh, I'm going the wrong way. And I would find myself going near them, and I said, mm-hmm. gosh, I need to turn around and go back. Because mm-hmm. they're in different directions.
Yeah, they are.
And that school on Elm Street is a school that I would always call Rose High School.
Mm-hmm. I have to say that I still call it at least the old Rose.
Yeah, that's right. Students mm-hmm. still do. Because if I say something, they say, you mean the old Rose or
yeah.
new Rose?
Yeah.
And I said, the old Rose now is CFX Middle.
That's right. I know it's hard for me, too, because both my parents and my mother
uh-huh.
graduated from that building.
Okay.
You know, and I believe one of my aunts did.
Okay.
And my uncle, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's right. It's like home.
Yeah, it really was. And, of course, now my brother's going to the new.
Uh-huh. How many brothers you have?
I just have one.
And what grade is he?
He is sophomore this year.
Okay, what's his name?
Kirk Ruffin. He's,
I may run into him one day.
Yeah, you may.
I mean, because I run into students, and students speak to me all the time at school or mm-hmm. at the mall or wherever, and somebody would say, hey, Miss Jones. And I'll say, hi there. Then I say, now, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you remember you subbed in so-and-so's class? Or either they might say, I didn't have you when I was in school, but my brother did or my sister
mm-hmm.
did. I said, okay. But they always speak to me. If they see me at Walmart or
mm-hmm.
wherever,
mm-hmm.
students are always speaking to me.
Yeah.
And then I ran into some of my students that graduated, say, 15, 20, 25 years ago, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I first started working at Rose. And they would say, do you remember me? And I'm pretty good about remembering faces.
Mm-hmm.
And they think I'm really good at remembering names. I don't remember all names. But sometimes I would say, let me think. I said, oh, how do you do that? How do I do what? How do you remember these names? I said, I've been pretty good at remembering names.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember handwritings for some reason.
Well, you're an English teacher.
Yeah.
That's why.
I can pretty much remember that and everything. But I enjoyed my years of teaching. I had many more good days than I had bad days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one last question mm-hmm. I want to ask you was, how has teaching changed since you began?
Okay.
Do you think it's good or bad?
Do you mean with the students, with the teachers, or just...
Both.
Okay.
Both.
All right, students today don't seem to be quite as concerned about getting an education. When I
mm-hmm.
say students, I don't mean everybody, because
yeah.
there's always that group that's going to work hard and they're going to get a good education.
Yes, ma'am.
But students, many students today go to school because the law requires you to go until you're 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
Others go because the parents say, you're going to school
mm-hmm.
or either you're going to stop and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
I say to them myself, I say, some of you just here because your parents gave you a choice. You either go to school or you get out and get a job. And you feel like it's a little bit easier to go to school
mm-hmm.
because your parents are going to provide for you. But many students today don't take education seriously. They have
mm-hmm.
so many advantages.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that. And the students will say, why are you always saying that? I said, I say it because it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They just have so many. I mean, they can do anything. They can come out of high school and say that high school was my finishing education, because
mm-hmm.
you're going to learn it. Because they can go into the world of work.
Yep.
They just have everything at their fingertips. Today, there's more hands-on,
mm-hmm.
you know, situation.
Mm-hmm.
They got the computer and everything. Now, of course, it's computerized.
Yeah.
So that everybody in the school is supposed to have some hands-on experience with the computers,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
Yeah.
So the technology and so mm-hmm. forth, of course, you know, has advanced
yeah.
education. Some students are not taking advantage of it. There are others who are eating up every bit of it. They're taking everything mm-hmm. that the teacher puts out for them, they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get it. Some of the things that I noticed, some of the students that say are is not, they're not as respectful as I would like to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dress code has become too relaxed. Mm-hmm. I can't stand, I guess I tell myself I'm from the old school. I can't stand to see your breeches hanging down to your knees. You see the guys, and I would say, where's your belt? You know, I mean, sometimes I don't even know them. And I said, you need to pull your pants up.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ella Harris sees them going down the hall, mm-hmm. she will come up. She said, pull your pants up.
Mm-hmm. She can do it for
them. Uh-huh. Yeah, and they do it. So some of the students still don't respect teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I get upset because I see a number of black students that still don't respect white teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't respect anybody, not even themselves. Mm-hmm. But they don't respect white teachers. And I have told people, I said, you know, I'm not sure how well I would do if I were a white teacher trying to deal with some of the black students. Because
mm-hmm.
I've seen some really ugly ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell parents, I said, don't think I'm saying that these children are ugly because they're black and you think that I'm, and somebody might say, well, you going white. I said, I'm going the way that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a lack of respect among students for adults.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lack of respect among students among themselves. And I mm-hmm. see a lack of respect with them. I see a lack mm-hmm. of self-respect.
Yeah.
I see that more than I used to see it.
Mm-hmm.
There were times, you know, in the olden days, or maybe say 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even before I went to Rose, I could see a little bit more respect. I could see if a student used a bit of profanity and a teacher just happened to come along, you would see them put yeah. their hands up and they would say, I'm sorry, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a student curses or uses some other profane language,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter whom they see passing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, well, that's the way it is, you know, close your ears if you don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that, I mean, which is not good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is today.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago, the students would be more respectful toward their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be respectful toward their parents.
Yeah.
Even with their classmates. Because I've seen maybe occasionally in a parent-teacher conference that
mm-hmm.
involved a student where the student was not doing so well or with some confrontation. I have sat in a guidance office in some conference room where a student has literally talked back to the mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had that been my mom and dad, because they wouldn't have needed to be there, they would have hit me, and they would have punished me right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard one or two counselors say that every once in a while, a parent would get up and almost, you know,
mm-hmm.
abuse that child. You know, they kind of, you know, they said maybe I shouldn't, but they've seen parents who get so upset with their children's behavior that they are ready to punish them right then.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have a few parents who demand self-respect. I mean,
yes.
respect for themselves and for the children.
Yeah.
But I think the white teachers, on a whole, really, I don't know how many, but there's a large percentage of white teachers who are afraid to discipline black children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would like mm-hmm. to see them be able to discipline children as if they're children, whether they're blue,
yeah.
green, black, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it really kind of bothers me. I think the white teachers put up with much more than the average black teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I see that even when I go to sub, because mm-hmm. I've seen, sometimes I'll see maybe a student on the hall, maybe he's kind of talking back to the teacher. Sometimes I'll even intervene. I don't even have anything to do with it. And I'll say, you shouldn't be saying that. You know better.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. And I say to myself, I guess one day I'll get my face slapped or knocked off, my head knocked off, because I've gotten into somebody else's business. But I don't like to see anybody cutting anybody else's down.
Mm-hmm.
Especially children not respecting adults.
Do you think it's harder to be a teacher nowadays?
Yes. I know it's hard to be a teacher. I can see that when I go back to substitute.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already said that in the next few years, there's going to be a scarcity of teachers mm-hmm. because there are so many discipline problems in mm-hmm. the school, even though a school administration might say, we are good in this area, you know, we have strong discipline, but there's still some problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger teachers are not going to tolerate the things that the older teachers put up with.
Mm-hmm.
They might work a year. Some might work 5 years because maybe they got that teaching fellows thing,
mm-hmm.
and they have to work like 4 or 5 years and then to pay back, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they've gone into industry or mm-hmm. gone back and said, well, I'm going to go back and get another degree so that I can teach on college level.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of the student teachers, I'll bet half of the student teachers that come through Rose decide that they don't want to teach high school until they finish. They decide they want to teach, but they want to teach on college level, where the students are there because they want to be there.
I just made that decision myself.
Uh-huh.
With the teaching history, but uh-huh. then I thought, I don't want to teach high school. It's uh-huh. so hard.
Well, you know, well, it is.
And then I thought, you know, and now I don't think I would have had the patience.
Oh, that you got.
And I mean, really have the patience to teach children,
yeah.
even though I think teachers are something really, really important.
Yeah. But you know, gotta have patience. Keyword is patience.
Yeah.
Because students have asked me, and parents have too, how in the world can you put up with that or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've got more than the patience that Job had. It's a biblical character. It's nobody's patience.
Yeah.
I said, I've got a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, you know, I can just sit right here and just wait too for you to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But school is different, as I said. It's harder being a teacher. But I don't say that to try to discourage, because I encourage young folks. I tell, sometimes when students are doing a survey in school, and I would say, I would ask, how many of you are going into teaching? Who? I mean,
mm-hmm.
they just, no. You, mm-hmm. it's like saying, you're asking us a bad word. You know, that's the kind of way they feel. And I said, somebody has to teach. And then some of the students will say, yeah, you're right. And then they will say, I don't see how you all put up with students that act like we do.
Well, maybe you shouldn't act like you
that's,
do.
And I tell them, I said, well, you know, you ought to think about that
mm-hmm.
when you're giving some teacher a hard way to go.
That's right. I have thought that since I didn't have the patience to be a teacher, that
uh-huh.
perhaps I wouldn't make a good one. And I would rather a student have a good teacher other than me being a bad teacher.
You'd probably be a good teacher.
Well, that's why I wanted to go into museums. That
okay.
way I would be educating.
That's right. Well,
in
that's
a
true.
Sense, but more more in a way that I can do it.
Okay.
And be patient.
Okay. Well, yeah. school, I mean, the schools are good. The schools have their good points. As I said, they offer so much to the children.
Mm-hmm.
They offer so much.
They do.
And if they could just have a closer bond between the home and the school,
mm-hmm.
you'd have almost a perfect working situation.
Yes, ma'am.
But we have parents tearing down the teachers tearing down the parents,
mm-hmm.
and one wanting to confront the other. Sometimes the teacher wants to. The teacher actually wants to say something to the parent, but the teacher doesn't know how,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
I'm so scared they'll be sued.
Yeah, that's right. The least little thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start looking and say, well, now, what are the legal aspects of this? And
mm-hmm.
that's what, everything now is you got to look at the legal aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand, you know, the reluctance, you know, to confront a parent or a parent to a teacher about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
What you say? The next thing you hear them say, I'll get my lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard so much about lawyers until the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in school, I never heard anything about a parent saying, I'm going to get a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do such and such a thing. Or I'm going out and tell that teacher off. We didn't hear anything like that.
No.
We never heard anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got some good points.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some good points in school. We got some bad. And I think all the schools can improve.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, I love Rose High School
mm-hmm.
because I spent the bulk of my teaching career there.
Yeah, you did.
I loved South 8th School, just 12 years, but and when I go past there and I see the little marker, they've got a marker, some of the students who graduated have put a marker there, put former site of the former South 8th School, something like that. just like right up mm-hmm. here, they have a big stone, a big marker mm-hmm. on the front. It's facing Fifth Street, and it says, yes. Home of the former CMF school, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it still eats me. Every yeah, time I pass by, they
yeah.
build
well, it. It well, the same thing happened at Ada when mm-hmm. the schools got ready to integrate or desegregate, whichever it did. They had to decide whether the students in the elementary school would go to South Aiden School mm-hmm. or to the Aiden High School. Mm-hmm. See, because the high school now was going to be between Aiden and Griffin, the Aiden
right.
Griffin School. But what happened was that the administrators or whoever, the superintendent of the Board of Education, decided that the school for all the students would be the Aiden Middle School, which had been the Aiden High School.
Right.
That building was so old and dilapidated, I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. The South Aiden School was in much better physical condition because it would have been more recently structured. It was mm-hmm. a good building.
Yeah.
But again, it was that attitude, is that we don't want our children to have to go across the railroad. Mm-hmm. We don't want our children. But I walked into the Aiden School, you know, which was the Aiden High School, mm-hmm. with one of my former co-workers who was at South Aiden School, mm-hmm. who had been assigned to the middle school then, mm-hmm. you know, instead of being sent to the Aiden Griffin School. So one day she said, well, come down with me and so I can show you my room. They were just getting things in.
Mm-hmm.
The floors were warped. It was the building was in really bad shape. It was a much older building.
Yeah.
So that was why it was in such bad shape. But instead of having all the students black and white to go to the school that had been formerly black,
mm-hmm.
they couldn't deal with it. The white community couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's how the black children had to, of course, come this way. You know, mm-hmm. and things like that. But I think integration is improving. Some people say, we need to go back to the good old days. I said, what were they? I said, mm-hmm. the good old days are right now, whatever you make them.
That's right.
Whatever you make them.
That's right.
I said, and I tell the students, I said, you can make good out of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And you can make bad out of it. You can take a good situation mm-hmm. and make it bad.
That's right. You can.
So I used to tell them this, they would say, some of them would say, you sound like my mom. You know, she said the same mm-hmm. thing. I said, well, you can count me as your mom away from home. But that's the role. Now, I said, I'm your teacher and your mom, or mm-hmm. your parent, whichever you want to go, your grandma, if you want me to be your grandma, whatever. But school has changed. Education has not really changed because it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the schools are now providing a better education for children.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that wants to go to school beyond 12th grade can go. Mm-hmm. See, you got all these scholarships. Mm-hmm. If it's not a scholarship, you've got all these kinds of grants.
Mm-hmm. Loans.
Yeah, everything. If you want to go, you can do it.
That's right.
You can do it.
That's how I'm
You can do it. I tell students, I said, there's no excuse by saying, I don't have the money. Because you don't have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just put yourself in the way and you really want to, mm-hmm. and you're willing to work hard, you can do it.
That's right.
But they don't particularly, you know, but they want any excuses. They don't want to go anyhow.
Yeah.
But it's just, there are so many more things that are available to help students get an education than there were when I was there. As I said,
mm-hmm.
I had a scholarship for $110,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was going to pay for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if somebody offered you a scholarship for $1,000, students don't even count that as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell them, I said, anything somebody gives you, the person doesn't owe it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you be thankful for whatever you get. And I always try to teach all the students that I came in touch with that were under my supervision, I said, you need to be grateful for whatever. And
mm-hmm.
if your parents can't give you but a quarter, and somebody else's mother or father gives them $10, then you be thankful for your quarter, because that's all your mom is sacrificing,
mm-hmm.
your dad is sacrificing.
Right.
You just be thankful for whatever you get.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could bring up that level of respect, and it
mm-hmm.
has to be inborn.
Yeah.
It has to come from the home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. I agree with you.
And we have the home criticizing the school criticizing the home. It has to be a closer bond between those two institutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The home, the church, and the school are the three strongest institutions in the world.
Yes, ma'am.
That's
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, they've got to come in closer together.
Mm-hmm.
Because parents don't work. I mean, if they don't come to a common understanding and say, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, We can save our children from drugs. We can save them from prostitution. We can save them from this or that, mm-hmm. if we can kind of come together.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's about it. I think that's all.